Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How awesome was that trailer? If you missed what she said, if you have the chance to change your fate, would ya? So as you can see, John and I have been practicing our Scottish accents for the last 16 months. So we're really happy to be able to put that into practice this morning. But I am so excited to be kicking off this series at the movies. Like Pastor D said, we did this last year. Although last year involved a lot of dress up. So I'm very glad that I didn't have to wear that red wig to preach this morning. But I'm so excited and so honored to be sharing a word with all of you, my church family. But before we dive in, why don't we open up with some prayer? Lord, we just thank you that you are here, Father, that every single person that is here for a reason and that there is something that you want to say to them. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open to what you want to say. So Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are always making us brave whatever is ahead of us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chloe, and I'm the student's pastor here at The Rocks. Now, part of my job requires me to spend a lot of time with young people, and I absolutely love it. In fact, I've made a promise to myself never ever to grow old. But there is probably one thing about me that makes me old. You see, never have I ever enjoyed watching cartoon or animation. I just don't like it. It's weird. You know, even my favorite genre as a kid was actually horror and thriller. So you can imagine what kind of crazy kid I was. But my dad and my sister, they love animation so much. And my dad used to tease me because I would always just fall asleep during animation or I would just like zone out. And if you've ever met my dad has a very strong Singaporean accent. And the way he teased me, he would be like, Chloe, why you don't find any joy in animation? Why you grow old? You old lady. And I'm like, Dad, like not everyone finds joy in animation, you know? But when I found out that our theme for At the Movies this year was Pixar, I knew it was going to be a little bit of a struggle for me. But I talked to one of our igniters, and I asked what movie I could do, and she mentioned Brave. And I knew that there was something to it because I faintly remembered that it was about a brave Scottish girl who didn't want to be forced into an arranged marriage just because her parents said she had to, just because tradition says she had to. And so I thought of all of these things that I could talk about. Freedom, fighting for what you believe in, your identity, like these were all things that I thought I could talk about. But then God showed me what real bravery looked like, and I was absolutely thrown off. Now, don't get me wrong here, I was completely thrown off in the best way possible. You see, I had an idea of what to say this morning, but he showed me what real bravery and courage looks like. And this morning, we are going to be talking about bravery, but more importantly, how God sees bravery. Now, just a quick show of hands, who has actually watched the movie Brave? Oh, a fair few of you. Okay, well, some of you did not raise your hand, so I'm just going to catch you up to speed really quickly. Now, just like the trailer suggests, Brave is set in medieval Scotland, and so it's set during the... If you like a man who can rock a kilt, come see me after the gathering. I'll hook you up. But back to the story. Merida, she's a warrior princess. Her father is a warrior, and she loves everything about her father. So what she does is she trains day and night. She fights. She does archery. She rides horses, the whole shebang. But then her mother comes along. And you see, Queen Eleanor, well, she desires the picture-perfect princess life for Merida. As traditions say, Merida must also marry the firstborn from neighboring kingdoms in hopes that the generations will grow stronger together. But here's the thing. Merida and Queen Eleanor, they don't see eye to eye. In fact, both are speaking, but neither are listening. Both want their way or no way at all. both want to be understood, but refuse to be understanding of each other. Now, is that just me, or does that sound really familiar? Now, this leads to a huge argument which really heats up when the suitors come to fight for her hand in marriage. I mean, take a look at these guys up here. There is not a lot going for Merida at the moment. Let's be real. I would kick a fuss if I was Merida. But you know, in the heat of an argument, Merida and Queen Eleanor, they both do something that they seriously regret. And they break and they do further damage to a relationship that was already hanging by a thread. So Merida, she sets off and she finds a witch to change her mother. And she does. She changes her mother into a bear. And so long story short, Merida and Queen Eleanor, who is now a bear, set out to find a way to reverse the spell before she stays a bear forever. Now, Pixar created this film for kids and parents to watch, and I think it is absolutely brilliant. And that's a big statement coming from me, considering my history with animation. But we live in a time where it's so normal for children to see broken relationships all around them. And how true is that for us as well? How many of us have relationships that have gone sour? Relationships that are severed because we don't see eye to eye? Relationships that seem impossible to mend because we don't get what we want? You see, Pixar reveals to us the destructiveness of pride and the problems and pain that are caused by pride. You see, Merida, she was so brave, she was so strong, she knew who she was, and because of that, she grew prideful. Now, same with her mother, she was the queen, and well, she's a queen, she gets what she wants. And so she was prideful as well. Now, whether you like to think it or not, we all struggle with pride. We all do. You see, pride is often the root to every relational problem that we experience. Pride is the reason that you don't see eye to eye. Pride is an issue of the heart. You see, pridefulness insists that you are the judge, that you know right from wrong, that there's something wrong with them, but there's nothing wrong with me. Pride says that they don't understand you like you understand you. In other words, pride says, you do you, boo-boo, which means you do what you want, that whatever makes you happy. Now, some of you are probably thinking, ah, yeah, I bet he better be here listening because he's got an issue with pride. Oh, is my mother here? Oh, she has an issue with pride. Oh, is my children here? They are super prideful. Now, I know some of you guys are thinking this because, can I be honest? Can I be real here? I do this a lot when I hear sermons, and it's not a good habit to have, and it reveals my struggle with pride as well. You see, how often do we watch a movie or read a story and automatically think we're the good guy, automatically associate ourselves with the good guy? You know, take the story of David and Goliath, for example. When we read the story, we're like, what can I learn from David? Yeah, I'm often overlooked. I've got a lot of leadership qualities. I love sheep. But you know, the opposite is very true as well. How often do we say, what can I learn from Goliath? Do I struggle with arrogance? Do I struggle with pride? Because I don't want to be caught in that trap like Goliath was. You see, we often learn a lot about ourselves from the bad guys and a lot of solid life lessons as well. And this morning, can I encourage all of us to have an honest reflection with ourselves, and not the people around you, but with yourselves, because I believe that God wants you to grow in your character as a person, and we can't grow unless we have an honest reflection of ourselves. Now, we know that pride will be a problem for all of us. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Bible warns us against arrogance and pride, and God knows that we will struggle with it. Now, if you're not a Christian here today, I am so happy that you are here, and thank you for being brave and for coming to an unfamiliar place like this. But I also believe that you are going to get something out of this as well, because unfortunately, pride is everywhere. It's in our family, it's in our relationships, our schools, our workplaces, and unfortunately, it's in our churches as well. Now, we know that pride is dangerous because listen to this. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, your boast becomes a prophecy of a future failure. The higher you lift yourself up in pride, the harder you'll fall in disgrace. You see, pride only leads to one thing, and that's a future failure. And so this morning, we're going to be focusing on a passage in the Bible, Philippians 2, that speaks a lot about humility, about bravery, and about pride. You see, in Philippians 2, it talks about two conflict-creating kinds of pride. And we're going to have a read of it right now in Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. You see, the two conflict-creating kinds of pride is selfish ambition and vain conceit. But these aren't words that we say very often. So we're going to break it down and see what these words mean. So the first is selfish ambition. You see, selfish ambition can be simply defined as motivation to elevate yourself and to put your own interests before another's. You know, we see a lot of this selfish ambition in Merida. She couldn't care less if she embarrassed her mother, if she embarrassed her father by going and trying to win her own hand in marriage. In fact, she couldn't care less. In fact, she's very prideful in doing so. Why? Because she doesn't care who she hurts along the way, as long as she gets what she wants. And how easy is it for us to live this way? You know, our society encourages us to do so. It's called the me first mentality. I'm going to say this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to act this way. I'm going to behave this way. Why? Because what I want is more important than what you want. And maybe you've experienced this firsthand in a business relationship that went sour because both of you had your own ideas of success. Or maybe this is common in your workplace, you know, people climbing over each other, trying to get to the top, removing anyone that gets in their way. So how do you know if you struggle with selfish ambition? Well, you know you struggle with selfish ambition when you take the credit, when the credit doesn't belong to you. When you have friendships or relationships for the sole purpose of getting ahead in life. When you feel entitled, and get this, you know you struggle with selfish ambition when you have a burning desire to win. You see, Carrie Newhoff, a pastor of a thriving church in Canada, says, when you're motivated by selfish ambition, the need to win is greater than the need to love. And how often do we feel this burning need, this desire to win in all of our arguments, no matter what the cost? The second is vain conceit. You see, vain conceit can also be simply defined as self-esteem that has no foundation in reality. Now, that is a tough pill to swallow. But we see this a lot in Queen Eleanor because, hey, she's the queen. And there's a certain status that she needs to uphold. Because what would people think of her if they knew that her daughter was disobeying what she wanted? What would people think or what would they feel if they knew what was happening behind the doors of the kingdom? You see, that's why we see Queen Eleanor lose her cool when Merida acts out in front of the guests. But isn't that what we all do? In an age where social media is so readily accessible, this really is an issue for all of us. You see, like Queen Eleanor, we hide all the things that we don't want people to see. We cover the messy stuff in our lives, and we project a picture-perfect life that looks great on the outside but really isn't on the inside. You see, I know many teenagers and young people, they struggle with this because they feel like if we don't get the attention we crave or the spotlight we desire, well, that's okay. We'll just create one for ourselves on Instagram. If we feel like we're not popular or people don't like us, well, that's okay. You can buy followers now on Instagram if you didn't know. You could add a ton of people on Facebook, not to worry. You see, we use filters to filter out the stuff that we don't want people to see and project an image that we do want people to see. You know, it might seem harmless, but that in turn builds an excessive amount of pride and a self-worth that is based on a foundation that isn't strong or secure. Suddenly, your foundation isn't on who God says you are, but now your foundation is built on how many likes your newest picture got, or how many followers you have got, or how many friends you have on Facebook. Now, you might be able to hold it all together on social media when no one knows what's happening, but vain conceit causes relationships to falter because you and the other person, you guys really know what's going on. You see, it's face-to-face issues that can't be covered with a filter. They see you for who you really are and not the image that you project on social media. You see, in the movie Brave, Merida and Eleanor, they're looking for a way to change her mother back into a human before she becomes a permanent bear. And so they visit the witch who leaves like a medieval voicemail for them. She says, change your fate, look inside, mend the bond torn by pride. Now you might be asking, what has all of this got to do with bravery and courage? And that's a fair question to ask. Well, what does bravery look like to you? Because for me, bravery looks like fearlessness, about stepping outside of your comfort zone, about fighting for those people who can't fight for themselves. You know, movies like Braveheart, The Avengers, The Karate Kid, these are all movies that pop into our head when we think of bravery. And it's true, sword in hand, standing up to the bully, fighting for what you believe in, fighting for your country. And yes, while everything I've mentioned is a form of bravery, there is another form of bravery that we don't often see in movies. So then why is this movie called Brave? Well, I believe Pixar is trying to teach us something very biblical here. You see, Pixar is showing a different kind of bravery, one that we don't see in movies. But this type of bravery is the type of bravery that God calls us to show. And in fact, Jesus was the first person to show this type of bravery to us. We're going to dive deeper into Philippians 2, and we're going to continue reading. So we've read Philippians before, so now we're going to. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, it takes bravery to put our pride aside. It takes bravery to put our pride aside. You know, this is the type of bravery that God desires us to show. And Jesus was the first to show it to us by dying on a cross for our sin, knowing very well that there would be people who would never reciprocate that kind of love to Jesus. You see, Merida and Queen Eleanor, they think that mending the tear of a tapestry that Merida tore moments after an argument was the sure way to change her mother back into a human. But after many scenes, we realize that that's not the case at all. You see, they both had to work on this broken relationship and to mend their bond that was torn by pride. You see, at the beginning of the movie, we see what the world thinks bravery looks like. You know, Merida standing up to her mother, sword in hand, doing archery. But at the end of the movie, we see what real bravery looks like. You see, Merida showed bravery and showed courage by choosing to mend the broken bond that she had with her mother. She had the bravery to leave her ego behind, to leave her pride aside, to humble herself, and to put her mother's interests ahead of her own. You know, as we read in Philippians, Jesus also showed this bravery, but on a much larger scale. You know, as Jesus was dying on the cross, it says that he was mocked. In the book of Matthew, it says that people heaped insults on him. And what did Jesus do? He could have very well taken himself off the cross and talked back, could have given them a real good lesson. But what did Jesus do? He showed a quiet bravery for our sake. You see, there was not 1 ounce of pride in Jesus. This type of pride that we've been talking about all morning, the type of pride that destroys and destructs relationships, it did not exist in Jesus at all. Instead, Jesus came to earth to mend the bond and the relationship between us and God. You know, if God did that for us, how then can we act in pride? When we consider what Christ has done for us, we realize that we don't need pride. You see, when we understand this incredible sacrifice, this grace, this love, this mercy, this forgiveness that God gave to us, then we realize that we have no use for pride in our relationships. So then how do we mend the broken bonds that we used to have but are now torn by pride? How should this understanding of humility shown by Jesus flow into every corner, every part of our life, and into every broken relationship that we have? Well, I believe that there are 3 things that we can learn from the life of Jesus and the movie Brave, and I hope it encourages all of us to live bravely and to put our pride aside. Now, the first is being brave to be humble. You know, humility is almost so simple to talk about, but extremely hard to do. Because we're living in a world that is so noisy, it's almost like we're struggling and fighting to be heard and fighting to be known. But humility is your willingness to put others ahead of yourself. In other words, humility is sacrificing your self-gratification for other people. You see, when Queen Eleanor turned into a bear, she learned a really important lesson about humility. You see, a huge part of humility is allowing people a space to speak and share how they feel without having the constant need and desire to interrupt and to get a word in. You know, when Eleanor was a bear, she couldn't speak, obviously. She could only listen, and we see how quickly their relationship improves when instead of just hearing what Merida has to say, she listens. You know, there's a huge difference between hearing and listening. When you hear, you're trying to simultaneously think of what to say next. What's a quick, witty reply that I can give? But when you're listening with intent to understand what that person is saying and how they're feeling. So in all conversations, in all arguments, listen with the intent to understand, not with an intent to reply. You know, it's a pretty common problem in most marriages for both parties to feel like they're not being heard. And this puts a lot of unnecessary strain on marriages because when people feel like they're not heard, they feel unimportant. So just imagine how differently our relationships would look like if everyone was so slow to speak and quick to listen. You know, James 1:19 says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Now, part of being slow to get angry involves us being the bigger person. And so this leads me to what I believe comes next in the effort to mend these broken bonds that we have. We need to be brave to be the bigger person. You know, it's common to say that in every argument, there are two sides of the story. Well, I don't think that's the case. I think there are three sides. There's your side, their side, and the truth. Because we often look at our side of the story with lenses that aren't always accurate. Lenses that are based on what we feel, what has hurt us in the past, what we think that person meant to say and not what they actually said. You see, arguments with partners, with spouses, with friends and family, they are always going to be tough. But if we want our relationships to flourish and to see it to the end, then it sometimes involves us choosing to be the bigger person. Now, being the bigger person means realizing that you aren't actually always right, that you sometimes deserve to give an apology as much as you deserve to receive one, and that sometimes putting your pride aside for just a couple of minutes to apologize is worth so much more than years and years of argument or years and years of the silent treatment. You know, the question that I always ask myself in any argument is, will this argument or problem matter in 5 years? Because I believe all of us have friendships and relationships, not because it's convenient for a season or just because we happen to know this person, but we have friendships, we have relationships because that person means something to you and you value what you share with that person. You know, I remember I was in my late teens. I was having a disagreement with a friend, and get this, it was over email. So if you get something out of this message, is don't argue over email, text, WhatsApp, WeChat, whatever you use, don't do it. Because how many of you know that we have a library of tones to choose from when we're reading the reply from the other person? You know, I was so annoyed when I got another email from this person insisting that their plan was better than mine, that their plan made more sense. And so I became a keyboard warrior, and I got my fingers ready, and I started typing out a long email. My fingers were going so fast, they were on fire. I was like, bam, 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 bam. And so I ran to the kitchen, and I said, "Mom, Dad, what I'm saying makes sense, right? What I'm saying is right, right? Don't you agree with me?" And I'll never forget what my mom said. She said, "If you're okay to lose this friend, if you're okay to end this friendship, then send the email." And I was shocked. And after I got over my shock, I clicked send. So, no, I'm only kidding. No, I never sent the email. In fact, I went along with their plan and it didn't work out. But you know what did? Our friendship did. Our friendship worked out. And even to this day, this person is an integral part of my life. And I don't think I could be the person I am today without the friendship of that person. So in any argument, ask yourself, are you ready to lose this person as a friend? Are you ready to end a relationship, a friendship, based on this argument? Because if the answer is no, then the argument really isn't worth having, is it? You see, Romans 12 verse 18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." As far as it depends on who? On them? On their ability to apologize? On their ability to understand where you're coming from? No. On you. You see, do everything you can to live at peace with everyone around you. Because I tell you what, we all know it. Life is short. And my last point for today, and probably the most difficult of the three, is being brave to reconcile. You know, I read somewhere that you only love God as much as you love the person you hate the most. You only love God as much as you love the person you hate the most. When I heard that, I was just so shocked. Because no doubt we've all experienced hurt and pain by the people around us. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you it's easy to forgive. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it's easy to reconcile. But what I am going to say is that God is going to give you everything that you need to forgive and to reconcile with the people around you. Because, you know, we always have two options when we think of mending this bond that is torn by pride. The first option is that you can choose to be right, and no one is stopping you, so you can choose to be right. But the second option is that you can choose to reconcile. And when we look back and see what God has done for us, it should give us clarity on which option to take. You see, God had every right to be right, but he chose to reconcile. You see, he saw all of our sin, all of our mess, all our imperfections, all the things that we hide, but he still chose to reconcile. And why? Because he loved us, and he didn't want this bond between him and mankind to be torn forever. Instead, he actually took the first step, and he mended this bond in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, Colossians 3 verse 13 says, "Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ." If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. You know, when we understand this gift of forgiveness, when we understand the cost of that forgiveness, how can we not forgive? You know, this forgiveness that we have received costed a good man his life, the one who he chose to die on the cross for our sins. So this gift that we've received of forgiveness shouldn't end with us. It can't end with us. And maybe as I'm talking this morning, there are relationships that have popped into your head that need mending. Maybe that's with your parents. Maybe that's with your children. Maybe that's with a brother, a sister, a relative, a coworker, a friend. Whoever that might be, know that God has put them in your life for a reason. And just maybe they will get to experience the same love, the same grace, mercy, and forgiveness that God extends to us, but through their relationship with you. You see, we've all heard of this shocking quote by Gandhi. He says, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." You know, if Jesus Christ is known for his forgiveness and for his love, then Christians need to be known for the exact same thing. Because how can people not be drawn to a God that forgives and loves the way that Jesus does? You know, I believe that as we take a step of bravery to put our pride aside, our world will know of our God who loves and forgives in the most brave way possible. You know, last year I spent a lot of my time reading the Old Testament, and I remember reading a lot of about the battles that took place, a lot about the trials and the problems that people had to face and endure, and I couldn't help but see a common thread in humans. You see, time and time again, God came and rescued his people from battle. He gave them the victory that they prayed for. Time and time again, God provided everything the people needed for their journey. He made a way for them. He split the sea for them. You see, God was always faithful, always reminding them that he goes before them, that he never leaves them, that he never forsakes them, that he's shielding them from their enemies. But then if you read carefully, all the stories end the same way. And I felt so sad when I read it because I understood that we humans, we have a terrible habit. You know, if I reference all the times that people forgot what God did for them, we would be here till tomorrow. But I just want to show you a couple of examples because I believe when we look back on history, we will find lessons that are applicable for us today. You see, right after the famous Battle of Gideon, where God fights for them in battle and gives them the victory over the Midianites, it says this in Judges 8:34. It says, "They forgot the Lord their God who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them." Another example is the Israelites. The Old Testament is filled with accounts of the Israelites forgetting what God did. And here we see in Hosea 13, verse 6, it says, "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me." Or how about Nehemiah and the walls that he built for Jerusalem? You know, the Jews, they worked hard day and night working to build this wall because they believed that God would protect them. You see, they were facing so much opposition, so much threat, but they believed with their whole heart that God would protect them and God would fight for them as they built this wall. And guess what? God did. He did. He came through for them. But you see, at the end of the book of Nehemiah, we learn again this sad habit of humanity. You know, it said that as soon as they were at peace, they began to commit evil. They forgot what God did for them. And they grew proud. And then they decided to disobey everything that God had commanded them. But when you get a chance, I encourage you to read the ending of Nehemiah. Because despite the shortcomings of humanity, despite this habit of forgetfulness, it says this about our God. In Nehemiah 9, verse 30 and 31, I've skipped a few sentences and put them together. It says, "In your love, you were patient with them for many years. In your great mercy, you did not destroy them completely or abandon them forever. What a gracious and merciful God you are." You see, pride creeps in when we forget what God has done for us. Pride creeps in when we forget all of the good things that God has done for us. You see, so many kings fell into pride because they forgot who really fought their battle. So many nations fell into pride because they forget what God did for them. So as we close, I want all of us to think about all the times that God came through for you. All the times that you thought there would be no way and He made a way. All the times you forgot Him and turned your back to Him only to turn around and realize that His arms were open and ready to welcome you home. All the times that you thought that there would be a limit to His grace, to His love, to His forgiveness, His mercy, His patience, only to realize that our God is a limitless God. There is no limit without God. You see, whenever pride starts to creep in, let's remind ourselves to look back on the humility of Jesus Christ, the one who chose to reconcile instead of being right, the one who chose to mend the bond that we tore with our sin and our pride. You know, Jesus Christ became human for the sole reason of dying on a cross for our sins so that we could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And you know, I am so grateful for this. Because of Jesus Christ, I am able to have a relationship with my Creator God. You know, Jesus paid it all for you on that cross so that you and I, we could have a loving relationship with our Father, one that is filled with grace and forgiveness and mercy that never runs out or never runs dry. And as we close, I want us all to sing a song. Would you make this the cry of your heart to be more like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to see people the way Jesus sees them, to be full of grace, forgiveness, humility, bravery, just like Jesus has showed us. Can I invite all of you to stand? And as you sing this song, believe in your heart that God is going to give you everything that you need to reconcile the relationships that are broken around you. He is going to give you the strength, the courage, the bravery, everything that you need. He is going to make it possible for you. So why don't you sing with me today?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.